everybody, bang the table. It's the latest All Lions podcast made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. I am the Doc, John Macaroon, here today to break down a very interesting Lions fan who has a unique passion. And I want to share the story, set the scene. My guest today is Lions Royalty on Twitter, Colton Bleckner. And how it came to be where I started reaching out to Colton was a couple years ago when I first started working with Fan Nation and working to cover the Lions full time. Around the time of the schedule, obviously you start building contacts. You want to know, hey, what information's coming out with the Detroit Lions, who their opponents are going to be, and you start doing it. I recall distinctly sitting in my office, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, there's somebody out here doing the work for me. It was great. And I reached out on Twitter to Colton, and I said a couple years ago, and I would reach out and say, Colton, is this information factual? He's like, yes, I've been doing this for a couple years. And starting a couple years ago, I follow one site only around the time of the Lions schedule, and that's Colton Bleckner at Lions Royalty. So I'm here today, obviously, having somebody that has a unique passion about the Lions. I want to get the inside scoop on how he's doing this, where his passions come from, and it's going to be a fun story because, obviously, Colton is a big Lions fan. And Colton, welcome to the podcast. I'm curious, let's start here. Where did you become, and tell me a little bit about your Lions fandom.
Oh, for sure. First off, appreciate you for having me on. So I'm originally from Salt Lake City, Utah, and I grew up watching Lion King, the Disney movie, when I was a kid, and loved Mufasa and Simba and the whole story. And my dad, big football, big NFL, big college football fan. So obviously watched the Thanksgiving games every year. And he tells me the story that when I was about 4 years old, I pointed at the screen when the Blue Lions logo popped up on the screen and yelled Mufasa at the screen. And my dad tells me he rubs his forehead and he's like, oh no, what have I done? What have I subjected my child into a lifetime of misery and pain? Looks like things are turning around now. And then when I started watching football, that was when Stafford and Calvin Johnson were playing in those early 2010 years. So, and then just kind of stuck around and started my Twitter account in 2017, and it's been going up ever since.
Yeah, it's real interesting. Just like a lot of parents, they wonder, should I expose my child to this because of the Lions' history of futility? And I'm sure your dad at times was like, oh my goodness, what could Colton go through being a football fan and watching and supporting the Lions, especially in those, and especially that season? How old were you when the Lions went 0-16?
Oh gosh, I would have, well, that was 2008. So I would have been, I started watching just shortly after that. So let's see, 2008, that would have been, oh, math in my head, 12.
Okay.
13.
Okay. So you just came in right then, right after the worst period of Detroit Lions football, right when they started with Matthew Stafford, and then they started that little bit of a journey. So obviously, within a couple years, the Lions did start to turn it around. It was exciting, man. That 2014 season might have been the zenith when it was an opportunity for the Lions. Obviously, in the postseason, playing Dallas, man, that was tough too, because I think a lot of people at that time felt like the Lions, if they could have found a way to advance past Dallas, might have made some noise with that defense in 2014.
Yeah, that was one of the worst days of my football life. So, was made fun of a lot in school that day too. So,
what was it like? Obviously, you were passionate. You were one of those. Obviously, watching intently, and you see, obviously, when you see a call go against the Lions in that fashion, it was just wild. When you saw that a pass interference call that should have stood gets reversed, I'd never seen that before in my life. It just had the feeling of like, man, the NFL world is just against the Lions.
Yeah, for sure. The one that actually hit me worse was the Lions Falcons one in 2017, where they reviewed the touchdown and then went straight to the game's over. That one hurt me personally the worst. I guess I got more into football as time went on, but that one hit me the worst than the Dallas one.
Did you ever consider, why am I a Lions fan? Did you take on ever a B team? Because a lot of fans, you know, die hard here in Detroit, obviously, and now you're starting to see international supporters of the Lions, a lot of accounts popping up overseas, but at the same time, there just inherently is a certain level of pain that comes with being a Lions fan. Did you ever take on a B team just to support something a little bit different, or have you just stuck with the Lions with the hopes that one day they would turn it around?
I never had a B team. There would always be my secondary team, not my secondary team, but a team I would watch once the Lions lost 10, 11, 12 games. So early around that 2014 time frame, I would watch the Eagles. I had Nick Foles on my fantasy team that year, the year he went nuts. Then I actually lived in North Carolina for 2 years of my life, so paid attention to the Panthers a little bit. And then I'm a big Justin Herbert fan right now. I love Justin Herbert. But I do not have a secondary team whatsoever. I root for the Lions. Nobody else. I hope everyone else loses on Sundays.
Absolutely. That's the best way to be. I think that's awesome. I never had a B team either. You just stick it out, and whatever happens, happens. And I think hopefully in the coming years with the Brad Holmes era, the support that people have given, like yourself and everybody in town, can finally really turn the football tides around, because this is crazy in terms of all the preseason hype. I know you're seeing it in terms of national coverage. 5 primetime games where the eyes of the NFL world will be heavily featured on the Detroit Lions. It's great. A Monday Night Football game against the Las Vegas Raiders. So now to see the positive press has been awesome. And we'll talk about what you see, what you thought of the draft and the future of the 2023 season and where you see it. But I'm very curious because, like I said, a couple years ago, I just happened to be like, I sat down, and to pull the curtain back a little bit, I sat down early 2019, 2020, and you're like, okay, how does the schedule work? How does this content lay out? What do people want? And all of a sudden, you see this thread of information of just leaks upon leaks, and you're like, wow, there's a lot of people that are behind the scenes looking at the schedule. Tell me how this all came to be, because hands down, no matter who else says it, you're one of the predominant individuals looking at the Lions schedule each and every year for the past several years.
Yeah, so basically how that started, I don't remember if it was a birthday gift or a bet I won with my dad or what it was, but we had a deal where in 2018, my dad's like, hey, pick a Lions game in Detroit and we'll go. So with that being the case, I wanted to figure out when his only catch was, we need to buy tickets from the Lions, none of this third-party crap from Ticketmaster or whatever. So get tickets cheap and on time. And so I got into when the schedule came out. Normally it's late April, early May, depending on the year. And then kind of told my buddy about it. His name is McCade. We were the ones that sort of pioneered the NFL schedule leakers out there. So if you're annoyed by that, sorry about that. And then we were sitting in the University of Utah library waiting for our next class. And then these insiders started tweeting out the primetime games, you know, your Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night games. And it's like, oh, I wonder if we could kind of piece that together using an Excel file or a Google sheet or what have you. So we actually ended up ditching our class and went home, and sure enough, put in a couple of the primetime games, realized the NFL schedule leak really wasn't that big of an event at this point, I don't think, especially on Twitter and other forms of social media. But then we were able to find a random news reporter that would tweet out the full Giants schedule or some random team. And then you could start to piece together, because the NFL schedule is such a structured process of divisions you play and other teams you play. And then we just sort of pieced it together. I think that year, I know I had the Lions schedule early. So unfortunately, my dad and I ended up choosing the Jets game, which was the Matt Patricia debut.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was brutal, but I think we got like 98% of the schedule that first year, which was a huge success in our eyes. So that was kind of how it started, and then we've been doing it year after year, all throughout college. My buddy, he's sort of moved on. He's busy during the week, so just turned to me. And then the COVID year, we struggled a little bit, obviously, with people not being in the facilities and that sort of thing, but no, yeah, I've got the full Lions schedule 5 of the last 6 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. What's been the response? I think that you always get a couple comments that are skeptics, but I think by and large, the response that you get has been overwhelmingly positive. People have said, hey, when this dude tweets, it's legit. He's doing his research. He's not putting, and I think it's so hard too in this kind of fake news era. People always believe that certain accounts are lying. And I'm like, wait a minute, this guy has put out, and you did it too this year, which I thought was really smart, which is you said, hey, here are my tweets that I put out with the Lions schedule. I'm not out here trying to send people off into the wrong direction. I'm not trying to establish myself as being a liar. I want to put out good information. Here's my results that I've done. And I think that was really wise of you to do that. But I think the response has been great. People know that at Lions Royalty on Twitter definitely is in touch with the Lions schedule when it comes out.
Yeah, so that was actually one of my favorite things in doing this whole schedule leak was, I think it was 2019. Yeah, that second year we did it, me and my buddy became known as the spreadsheet guys across Twitter because we would share, you know, the link to the Google Doc or whatever. Sure enough, you search schedule guys in 2019 and you see about 10 tweets or so saying, hey, we're the schedule guys from last year. So that was a really cool thing to see. And it really started to take off after that, I think, especially the COVID year, which ended up being the hardest year for the schedule leak. But, you know, I posted that Lions Chiefs game on Wednesday night, about 8 hours before the NFL officially revealed it. And what was cool was Lions fans believed me. Other NFL fans didn't. But then about 45 minutes, an hour after that was posted, they're like, oh, shoot, this guy knows what he's talking about. Look, here's his tweets. And yeah, that was a really awesome response to see not only that I'm leaking games for Lions fans, but people around the NFL as well.
Yeah, and what's good is that, you know, you have source information, you're doing it logistically, and it can be very tough. So this year, I think, was the first year that maybe you expanded out and worked with others that are doing the same thing and kind of network. How did that work in terms of timing? Are you just on your phone that day? Do you take time off of work and just start to, okay, here's what's been released? I mean, it was great. I think the Packers reporter had the Packers schedule out real early. So that's information that comes out and you start to piece it together. How did that come about where you start networking with other individuals who have a passion for kind of researching and looking at the NFL schedule?
Yeah. So as this sort of schedule leaking process popped up, I came across two guys. One of them is at Aussie NFL and the other one is at Nerding on NFL, I think is what his handle is. And I kind of viewed them as competitors almost, like I want to get the schedule done before these guys. And then when my buddy, he was busy, I think it was during the 2021 schedule release, and so I was doing it by myself and just kind of reaching out to them like, hey, where'd you get this, where'd you get that, and then vice versa, they'd reach out to me. But about a month ago or so, I told them that my buddy wasn't able to do it with me again, so I said, hey, what if we teamed up? You know, we've kind of been competitors, but I bet you we could team up and get this thing done. And so it just kind of happened. We initially had a Twitter group chat, and then that switched over to a text group chat. Let's see. So the process normally starts with the international games, which for this year didn't end up getting revealed until, what, the day before, the day of even. And then after that, I ended up working from home that Thursday, coincidentally. Unfortunately for my work, didn't get much work done that day. And did the schedule from, I think I woke up at 6 a.m. Utah time and did it until 6 p.m. when the schedule dropped. So
what's the challenge? What's the biggest challenge of putting together the spreadsheet? Obviously, it can get confusing at times looking at when different opponents, different matchups and things like that. Are there any challenges that kind of permeate throughout trying to put together this information? I know it can get confusing trying to cross-reference, take stuff out, put stuff in, waiting for some information to come through. It can be challenging, but you've done a great job in at least getting the information out well before the 8 p.m. deadline, at least like 2-3 hours before.
Yeah, so I think the hardest thing is trying to figure out who's accurate and who's just trying to lead you astray. So those fake schedule accounts, I instantly block them now, because they'll just pop up again next year and I'll forget about them. And then making sure you understand how the NFL schedule works. Which division are the Lions playing? Are they playing the NFC North? Or are they playing the NFC West, the NFC South, the NFC East? And then where those games are taking place. And normally with that, you can piece it together pretty good, as well as knowing, okay, the Lions are going to host a game on Thanksgiving, obviously. So they're not going to have a bye week 12 or week 13. And just kind of little things like that help you figure it out. And my rule of thumb is when you see a game that's rumored to us, whether that's through our DMs or whatever that may be, and then it pops up from a different source, then that's when I know it's 100% legit. So I'll give you a quick example. The Bears game this year, I had someone DM me the whole Lions home schedule as well as their away schedule in separate tweets or separate messages, and wasn't sure about the Bears games and the locations. But then a Bears account popped up and said, hey, here's where the Bears are playing. And then it's like, okay, that's legit. He obviously didn't get it from me. We're good to go there.
And then you fill it in, and then it's just been great, because I think what else is useful on your Twitter page at Lions Royalty is that you throughout the day you'll have it, and then people can fill it in. And man, is it a wonderful resource to have, because as you know, there's a lot of people covering the Lions, and quite frankly, we just have to give you the credit that you deserve, because with that availability, with having that information that you gather and through your hard work, we're able to then just off of that, we're able to immediately, by the time the schedule is released, we're able to have our win-loss predictions. We have our takeaways. So in that day, when the eyes of the NFL world are on the line schedule, having that resource, that's why I messaged you. I said, man, and I think you knew I was genuine in saying, man, thank you. You are helping legitimately content creators really get stuff done in a way where if we had to wait till 8 o'clock, there's no way by 8:05 could you hit a deadline in terms of getting out content, takeaways, looking at the schedule. So obviously I have to just give you credit. Thank you for what you're doing, because it makes that day just a lot easier to follow. And it's fun too, because now you've added on others. So you get to see, you know, the interaction that you've established and kind of the niche that you've created. And I just love that. When people have a passion and they have a skill and they want to help others, because you could just hide it yourself. You could just create it and do some things to just make it so that you had it or only certain people had it. So for you to make it public for everyone to see, it has been great. And we definitely are grateful here that you do that. And I hope you continue to do it, because it's fun, because I know, okay, I'm going to definitely check out Lions Royalty around the time of the schedule and interact in that world. So thank you for what you've done. And you deserve the credit, not the others that try to say that they got it at 7 a.m. the next morning. It was you. And obviously from our account, we credited you for being able to get it when we posted it. And I think you did a wonderful job. And it's really fascinating to find somebody that was able to kind of put it together and know that people are interested in it, because people want to know the schedule. They want to know what's going on with the Lions. They want to know Thanksgiving. And so to have a lot of that information is great. And as well, you deserve the credit. You also put out that the Lions were going to be featured on Monday Night Football against the Raiders, and you had that first. So definitely credit to you, Colton, and all the work that you did. So what'd you think of the schedule? What'd you think of the Lions 2023 schedule? I know you saw our prediction, 12-5. A lot of people are within that range of 10-7, 11-6, and 12-5. It's nice to see, because actually when you look at that schedule, the way it's broken down, the Lions have a great opportunity to rack up wins early in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, first off, I appreciate you guys crediting me for that. I wouldn't be able to do this without all the people who message me things and all that sort of stuff. So I appreciate that. As to the Lions schedule, I am cautiously optimistic, of course, being a Lions fan, especially those Matt Patricia years where it was let down after let down. But I'm not even close to a Debbie Downer. I think at worst they get 9 wins again. And I think their top is right around that 12-13 win range, with that second half of the schedule looking pretty darn easy.
Yes, it does, especially when you don't go out to cold weather stadiums other than the Bears. You have a great opportunity against the Vikings when you're hungry right there in the division chase. Yeah, I just think this is one of those years where you see what Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes really are about. There should be a realistic expectation that the Lions compete for the division, get to the postseason, and host finally that home playoff game. The fans of Detroit deserve it. They deserve an opportunity to cheer on their team with an opportunity to advance. I just think this is the year. I'm certain that you've enjoyed the Dan Campbell era so far. That first year was rough, but that was expected. Last year was rough to start, which started some whispers and, you know, people discussing what this is about when you start 1-6. But the great thing about Dan Campbell and his coaching staff is they steadied the ship, made some tough decisions, made some changes, and were able to rebound with an 8-2 is no easy feat. And they caught the eyes of the NFL world by defeating the Packers when really they didn't have anything to play for other than pride. And that really resonated with a lot of people. So this Dan Campbell era, it's different. And there's something interesting and unique about the way in which he delivers messages and his passion that has really caught the attention and really earned a lot of supporters, not only locally, but nationally too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually envious of my wife. We first met about a month after Matthew Stafford was traded. She wasn't really a football fan, and so started watching that first year with Dan Campbell. And was like, okay, like, this is fun, I guess. Like, watch, of course, the Lions only won 3.5 games that year. And I'm like, no, her name's Carly. I'm like, Carly, you don't get it. You don't get how miserable life was under the former regime. So seeing the Lions have success and seeing the locker room and kind of guys they brought in, you could really tell that this is a different team and headed in a different direction than those Lions teams of the past.
Yeah, they are headed in a different direction. So I'm curious, are you into the NFL draft? Do you look at mock drafts? Do you explore kind of where these young talent come from and stuff like that? Are you a draft guy?
I'm not really into college football. I'm personally a fan of 27 to 24 football games. I find that a lot of college games kind of exceed that. A lot of offense, a lot of shootouts. So the college football, I'll sit and watch on Saturdays, but won't get too heavily invested. But I will watch my Utes go on and win the Pac-12, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And they produce some nice tight ends. Definitely some definitely some solid players coming out of Utah. But I am curious because it is a big debate online and a lot of people are weighing in. What's your stance on whole positional value? Because obviously the Lions took a running back and it caused a huge uproar day one, taking a running back and a linebacker with their first two picks. Now, many people will say, well, if you just change the numbers that were assigned, potentially you could say, well, you know, you maybe got Brian Branch in the first round and you can look at it a different way. I'm of the opinion if it's a good football player that can help your team, I don't care about positional value, but I understand. And those that are championing that position also make a good point. They say for Jahmyr Gibbs to be worth it, he's going to have to produce at a very, very high level. And in this day and age, if you're going to be looking at weapons, then maybe just go and take a wide receiver because the positional value is a little bit better in terms of price of contract, the worth, and what you get out of it. But at the same time, Jahmyr Gibbs is not maybe necessarily viewed as a player that's in a box. He can also be viewed as a slot receiver as well. They view him as a weapon that can do a lot of different things. So I think the Lions made their case. And when just seeing Gibbs and Campbell, what they can bring, seeing Campbell out there at rookie minicamp for the first time, I think the Lions target players that fit the system that they believe are going to definitely produce at a high level. And so I just can't argue right now, other than Levi Onwuzurike, Brett Holmes has hit on a lot of draft picks and deserves a lot of the benefit of the doubt. And I think the analytical world and the positional value world are looking at this from a vantage point that I just think isn't the correct one.
Yeah, I got you for sure. So I'm actually a stats guy. I went to the University of Utah and got a degree in statistics.
Okay.
And graduated about a year ago. So I'm a big positional value guy, big go for it on fourth down guy. So love Dan Campbell, love the front office so far. And as to positional value, not going to lie, night of the draft, I was extremely disappointed with that argument. However, I think that what the Lions are doing is they need to figure out literally in 2023 if Jared Goff is their guy. Because the last thing you want to do is pay $40 million to a subpar quarterback like a team in New York, in my opinion. I think for the Lions, 2023 draft is exclusively about, at least those first two rounds, about the 2023 season. How many weapons do we need to surround Goff with? And can he, A, get us to the playoffs, B, win a couple games, make some noise, and see where things go? So I understand the positional value argument for sure, but I also believe that the Lions need to evaluate Goff right now, and that's what I believe they're doing. That's how the contracts are set up. And so I think those picks, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, Brian Branch, and all those other early round guys are purely to enhance the current roster and make an instant impact.
So everybody has an opinion. Where do you stand on Goff? Because I'm of the opinion if you build around him like this, you can win some playoff games. But now when you look ahead and foreshadow, could Jared Goff match up with Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow in a big moment and compete and outshine them? Well, you might need other assistance and you might need others to step up. But I just think that in this day and age, when you see, you know, unfortunately, there is a Patrick Mahomes out there. So that mobility at quarterback is, as I think, an added value. But if you have the best team and you have a defense and you can control the clock, and if you can play Lions football, there's no, who's to say that the Lions couldn't compete at the highest level and win a game where Goff maybe is the game manager?
Yeah, so I've always been the opinion, unfortunately, ever since he got here, I'd be labeled a Goff hater, I guess. I'm on team do not pay Goff. I think that would handicap the Lions in the future when they need to pay Penei Sewell, when they need to pay St. Brown, and all these other studs that they're drafting now. But when you have that unicorn of a quarterback like Mahomes, you would like to pay those guys. Obviously, you can't because of the salary cap. But having a generational quarterback, an elite quarterback, helps you overcome those holes when those guys have to leave the roster. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You take this day and age, there's an argument to be made that if you find a young quarterback, the best way to do it is to utilize the skills of a young quarterback by surrounding the quarterback with as much talent as possible, and then hopefully get a championship or two with a quarterback still on his rookie deal. But at the same time, you know, there is also an argument to be made that the quarterback position is the most of the utmost importance. And so when you have one, then you got to pay it. And it's crazy, Colton. The debate, I recall back in 2000 and I believe just before Goff got here, was should Matthew Stafford be making $26 million? I was like, no. And everyone's like, oh, that contract is going to be the 12th best contract in a year or two, so it makes it a good contract. But my argument was, I don't see him ever winning, so paying him a nickel doesn't make it worth it. So I'm of the same opinion that if Goff will stay in the neighborhood of like $30 million and not too much more, he's worth it because the cap goes up. But I agree. The prevailing argument is that, you know, a quarterback shouldn't really take more than 15% of your cap, because the higher it gets, the more disadvantages it does put teams in. So we'll see now that Burrow is about to hit a contract. Mahomes, his salary cap hits are about to take off. The Jets, how that's going to impact them. So I want to see that as well. I think the Lions will just ride out Goff in 23 and 24 with the contract that he has. And then if he does win some playoff games, that will seal his fate. And then he'll get a long-term extension, probably $35 to $45 million a year. And then we'll see how good Brad Holmes is, because, yeah, we will be losing some talent. So, absolutely, I agree with you. I think you're in the right camp in saying that it's probably not in the best interest of the Lions with Goff, because in the playoffs, you're going to have a much different type of game. And when Goff gets under pressure, he tends to turn the ball over, isn't as accurate, and he gets happy feet, doesn't pull the trigger as much. So we got to see him step it up in the playoffs. Regular season's one thing, but home crowd down by three, and you have to go 40 yards and make plays against a really good defense, maybe against the likes of, you know, the Vikings or the Bears or another team that could be in the postseason. We want to see that. So absolutely, you are right. And you have great opinions. I like that you're fact-based. It definitely gives you an advantageous way of looking at things. And for the Lions, it's going to be all about improving that defense. If that defense can improve their metrics just to get to the middle tier instead of being bottom tier, look out, man. It's going to be a great season, and it could be sustained as well. So it's going to be an opportunity now moving forward to really look at this Lions football team from a great perspective, from a lens of positivity, from a lens of, hey, how do they compare to the Eagles and 49ers? How do they look? How do these young cats look? So I think the tide's turning, and hopefully your fandom will be rewarded. Enjoyed the conversation with Colton Blechner. Great opportunity to discuss the schedule. A fan of the Lions who took it upon himself to initiate a passion that he developed, and now the Lions hopefully will turn it around and have a great 2023 season. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Lions Royalty. Give strong takes and especially hit that follow button for Colton so that he can continue to grow and put out great content, especially around the time of the schedule. Colton, I enjoyed the conversation. Keep it up. Like I said, it was great to just talk to you a couple years ago and just message here and there and just be like, wait a minute, this sounds accurate. So thank you. And again, you've made when someone does something well and it's reliable and they can stand by their work, it's a great thing. I enjoyed the conversation. I learned a lot and I hope you continue doing it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It was awesome and thrilled to talk to you again.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the latest edition of the Bang the Table All Lions podcast, made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. We'll bring you podcasts as much as possible. Look for it every Sunday, a couple midweek podcasts here and there when great interviews pop up. Colton, thank you so much. We'll definitely talk again, hopefully, maybe in the middle of the season and check back in. Thanks a lot, everybody. Make sure you download and subscribe everywhere that you listen to your favorite audio content. Thanks, everybody.